4GVA and 4DJC. How are you doing this afternoon?
Good. I'm on the way home from work. How are you doing?
Sorry, that's for sure. Looks like it's getting a little breeze up this afternoon. I don't think we're going to have any bad weather today. At least I hope not.
We're going to get a good bit of rain next week.
Milan was talking a little bit earlier today, and he was talking like they might have a little snow up there, but I really didn't check the weather report to see what was going on.
I completely forgot what I was thinking to say. I was going to say something, I don't remember what it was.
She was very important. That's what I always say anyway. Islands looks like they're going to be okay. I was thinking they were talking about having some snow in the forecast, but it looks like it may be next week, maybe latter part of next week, if at all.
Sure, I'm ready for springtime to come back around.
Is that right? I'm tired of it already. I hadn't had too much of it. I've had more than I want. My blood's too thin to stand the cold weather anymore.
Pretty good now.
When it's around 60, it's okay. When it gets down in the low 50s and 40s now, it gets a little cool for me because I don't like to put on a whole lot of jackets and stuff anyway. But when you get old, you don't get warm as you don't hold heat like you did when you were 20 years younger. At least I don't.
He went camping back a few weeks back. He's in the Army. So he took a weekend and went camping, and he sent me a picture from where he was at and had all his gear sitting there. And I said, how much does all that stuff you carry with you weigh? And he said, about 85 pounds. And they went about 14 miles back up in the hills. He was carrying 85 pounds with him. He carried his rifle and all his ammo and everything else with him. He was just camping on his own time, still carried everything with him. But he, like it wasn't nothing to him. Of course, he's 21 years old.
It doesn't bother you. When you get older, though, all that stuff kind of starts weighing down on you. 85 pounds, I don't... that's a lot of gear to carry. That's a lot. I don't... of course, all the stuff they carry nowadays is a lot. I mean, everything's lighter, but you carry more of it.
Wanting to see what he could actually do. You know, he knew he had other people there with. He could divide some stuff up with. He just wanted to see how much he could actually tough out and endure. Normally on his job, you know, he's a medic, but he usually carries around, 50, 60 pounds. And he's usually not too awful far with that when they have to do it. But most wells, normally it's about 35, 40 pounds. But sometimes it's about 60. He just wanted to see what he could do.
Soldiering is a young man's occupation.
I think he's starting to get kind of frustrated with it and all the political side of it as far as that he has to put up with. He's kind of getting frustrated. He's about ready for his contract to get over with.
My son was in the Guard back, it must have been years ago, and it was all political. When you start, you get a little bit of rank, it all gets political then, especially when you get above... especially when you get around a CO6 or something like that, it gets really tough. Then you get into the, when you go move from colonel to brigadier, then it's Westport guys usually get the nod.
He got screwed on his, he was on track to be able to make sergeant before he had his first 4 years up. It's kind of hard to do with a medic sometimes, but he kind of got messed up with that. He got a, they had a little deployment they had to do last year over, and they had to go to work on the border with Border Patrol in Texas. And during that whole 9 months he was there, he wasn't able to be doing any of his medic job. He was just a regular infantry guy because he was the 101st Airborne. And so none of the work he was doing counted towards anything to go towards promotion or anything. So that's kind of got him frustrated, wasted 9 months of just doing regular grunt work.
He's full-time Army, and he's stationed at Benning.
Kentucky. He's 101st. He went to basic training at Benning. Then he went to AIT at Fort Sam Houston for his medic training.
If he's in Kentucky, it's a little chillier up there, too. Fort Campbell, it's not like Fort Leonard Wood. Now, Fort Leonard Wood is one of the coldest places in the world in the wintertime that you would think would be cold.
In the woods. I spent a few weeks there one time. I was out at Fort Sill where I went to basic and AIT, and then, I had to do a little bit of training out there in Fort Lawson in the woods.
And I had one of my buddies back in the 60s, joined the guard. And I said, where you gonna go, Rick? And he said, in Missouri. I said, uh-oh.
Now it's all, they do the, what's called OSA, or combined training, where you do basic and AIT together. It's mainly combat engineers and MPs out there at Fort Leonard Wood now. Or, yeah.
Well, bad duty, is it?
Yeah, basically, I like going up there and visiting sometimes. It's a nice, kind of quiet there. You don't have much going on. About like any military town, though, around there. You know, it's kind of, it's Clarksville town there. It's about like any other military town.
Living in Columbus for a while, back in the mid-70s. You know, Benning's just such a big base. It's, you know, it's everywhere. They'd already cleaned up. When we were there, they'd already cleaned up most of the trouble they had back in the 50s. But it was still a... Columbus is still a pretty tough town. I don't know where it is now or not, but you don't put all that basic guys in there and then let them out for a while and then not have them tear up a bunch of stuff.
They still got a lot of rowdiness there on the weekends in that town nearby there. They get a lot of a lot of Marines down there too, do some cross training with them, and everything else is on the weekends. They kind of get rowdy with each other. Eric's there making all the, of course, it's going to be like all the basic training bases, it's all combined, you know, male and female together in basic training.
Said, I'm sure. I know the, my wife's first cousin, he was a battalion commander. He went to Ranger School and went to Bragg and got his Special Forces deal, and he went through that. And he was an engineer. He graduated from Clemson, was an engineer, and he had a good job. I think he retired. And he had a good job. I don't know whether it was McDonnell Douglas in Florida or not, but he worked on a lot of some of those flying the shuttle. He did a lot of work with that. And he had a really good civilian job, and he stayed in. He just retired recently. Stayed in. He was a battalion commander for Special Operations Task Force East, I think. He did about, I don't know. He's probably done, you know, a couple of dozen deployments and various things over the years. And he's really a good soldier, though. But he was that last promotion he missed. I said, you know, it'd be nice to get that one star. I said, yep. He said, but they promoted a West Point guy, and I said, well, that's the way it is. His father and grandfather both went to the Naval Academy there. I'm surprised he didn't try to go Navy. I imagine he could have got in pretty easily if he wanted to.
My grandfather went there. He was 42 years in the Navy. He was a SEAL before they even had SEALs. He was a frog man, but he was a master chief when he finally got out after 42 years.
There was when we lived in Fort Mill, there was a guy up there. He was Catawba, part of the Catawba Indian tribe. He was one of the most decorated Navy guys around anywhere. He got the Congressional Medal of Honor. He was one of the PBR guys, and he got one of the Congressional Medal of Honor. He had a bunch of awards, and when he came back to Fort Mill after Vietnam, he was just the nicest guy you'd ever meet. So, but yeah, he was a, I'm pretty sure he was a Master Chief, but he was a really solid guy. And he went on in the Marshal Service, and he was a U.S. Marshal for years until he retired about 8 or 9 years ago, I guess. And there's a guy, over, matter of fact, there's a guy over here, I think he lives up here around Liberty or somewhere. He was a PBR guy, too. And I don't know where he was Master Chief or not, but he was, man, I tell you what, those PBR guys, you take those boats ain't that big to be fighting out of.
Indian guy, I know he's talking about, I've read about him before. One time I just got on kick of just reading about different Medal of Honor winners, and I can't remember his name, but I know who he's talking about. Yeah, my grandfather, he got out, and he ended up his career working with Naval Intelligence, and he got out. The last thing he did was help extract the SEAL that they had sent in to Afghanistan back when they first went into Afghanistan in 2001. They had sent a couple of SEALs in to get the tribes to work together with them. And he went in, I think it was 68 or whatever, went in under fire to extract that last seal that was there. That was the last, and next, basically that next week he was processing out.
I know there's a guy that he's run a couple of restaurants in the Atlanta area, and I'll say his name was Dante Stevenson, I think was his name. He had a restaurant underground, had another restaurant over there in London Square, and he was he'd been a UDT guy, and he was I think he was original. He was in long enough where he was one of the original seal plank holders, I think, and those guys, they're tough, but you know, most of them I've met over the years have been really good guys. They stick together.
Yeah, that guy, him and my grandfather probably knew each other. He was one of the original ones. But yeah, they're definitely some tough guys. My grandfather, he died, it's been about 7-8 years ago now. He didn't live probably 10 years after he got out. He got diabetes, got a hold of him, and ended up. He was in a wheelchair, had lost one leg, had to take one leg off, half a foot off on the other side, and his mind had started going from all the stuff he had to go through and do and everything. He was putting himself in a position to some of the people that he had done things to. He was thinking people were doing it to him, you know, but he went down hard.
Diabetes, type 2 diabetes really takes a toll on you. It's kind of it's a vicious cycle. You take insulin, it makes you hungry, then you eat, and then you have to take more insulin. It just destroys everything in your body. Hard to get control of when you get older, too, because you're not as active as you were when you were younger. We can't get set in our ways. I was pretty close to it about 15 years ago, and I said I lost a bunch of weight, and I don't have to worry about it right now as long as I don't gain that weight back. But I lost about 60 pounds, I guess, and it saved me.
Yeah, that's probably 95% of their medical problems could be cured by just losing weight.
I like to eat, though. It was hard to do. But once I decided, I said, I don't want to be taking those shots. And I said, there may come a time, sometime in the future, where I may not be able to get active enough to keep it off and to keep my metabolism up. I said, but I'm going to prolong it as long as possible. And I sure felt a lot better. I was on the road traveling, eating like a king, and not getting any exercise. And that's just, you know, it'll put it on you if you ain't careful.
Well, I'm about to pull in the driveway here. It was good talking with you, real good talking to you. I'm KO4 GPA, and I'll be clear after you.
Good afternoon. Good talking to you again. Maybe catch you tomorrow or maybe tomorrow Monday when you're working. KO4 GPA, N4DJC clear.